Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Hawks get the win. They even up the series. Now it's down to a best of three, and the home teams hold serve. Milwaukee with a 109-103 win over the Suns. Good morning, everybody. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Morning. How are you
doing?
Joining
us on the Goodyear Hotline. Why are you using that voice? I just said good morning, everyone.
No, I just said
a sunny day in New York City.
Sunny day in New York City.
Yeah, it's gonna be hot.
It's gonna be hot today.
Yeah,
it was cool. I mean, it was fine this morning.
This morning it was fine.
Yeah, I know.
It's gonna ramp it up though.
I'll be indoors, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Me too. Air conditioning is my best friend right now.
I mean, I got to come back to the studio later on this afternoon for NFL Live at 4. But
that's at 4.
Yeah.
Cam Newton's coming on our show at 9
Eastern.
Looking forward to
To explain to you why he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Well, we know
of
he's
the New
the
England
starting
Patriots.
Quarterback. I think what everybody's debating is if he will finish the season as the starting quarterback. That's what has been a debate. I know you're making that face, but it is a debate. You act like I'm not a fan of Cam Newton.
I never accused you. Why are you guilty? I ain't never accused
I'm
you
not
of
guilty.
Anything.
It's the face you're making.
I'm shaking my head at people that don't know what they're talking about.
Who are these people?
Just individuals that are out there in the universe.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of debate about what's going to happen in New England. But one thing we know is they spent a lot of money to get more weapons. They brought guys back who opted out last year. And Bill Belichick is on that redemption tour after seeing Tom Brady win a Super Bowl. There's a lot of interesting storylines coming out of New England, and we are fortunate to have their starting quarterback join us at 9 o'clock.
I wonder if Bill would have left and Tom would have stayed, would have New England gone to the Super Bowl.
Well, the way they were built, probably not. But speaking of they and people and what they have to say, on our Twitter handle, Key J and Z, the video is up from earlier in the show when you and I were talking about Giannis's block that just over minutes ago.
Yep.
Bucks up two. Booker with a lob pass to Ayton, and Ayton doesn't catch it fully with his fingers, but he does have it in his hands, and Giannis just recovers and makes an incredible block on the play. And it could be, you know, again, a signature play in this finals if the Bucks go on to win a championship. So the video is up with the quote, "The LeBron block is just better." You referencing Game 7, 2016, LeBron's chase down block.
Am I wrong?
Well, I'll read some comments if you'd like.
And I'm not – okay, you read them, but I'm not listening to them people. The hell would I listen to them for?
Why not? They're people that follow the show handle.
I think anybody who knows basketball and paying attention knows good and well that LeBron James's block in 2016 is the best block that we've seen in a playoff final.
Well, some people – let's see. The disrespect for Giannis coming – from another ESPN talking head. Shocking.
I don't know. It's not a disrespect, you.
Okay. All right. His name, S. Baker.
Yeah, Baker. It's not a disrespect. I'm explaining why I like one block better than the other.
Fan 17 NBA just said that Keyshawn's an official Giannis hater.
How am I a Giannis hater?
Just
because
hates Giannis.
I don't approve of the block being the best block in the finals.
And you should be canceled from the show. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck with that.
More of it. Again, this is a Dr. Deer who said that Keyshawn and ESPN hate the Bucks are winning. Why?
They're 2-2. What do you mean? We want the ratings to go up.
Lawyer
we don't
Nichols,
want it to be a sweep. Hello.
I know. Lawyer Nichols agree 100. So
that
one.
Means like 100% for those that don't know what 100 means.
Mm-hmm. Finkel Einhorn, great reference, said it was more difficult, meaning Giannis's block was more difficult than LeBron's. But LeBron's in the moment was a game seven.
I don't know that it was more difficult because LeBron James had to have the presence in mind to chase down from the backside, cross the court. Then when he gets to get up.
Avoid face planting into the glass.
Get up. He had to avoid, as Hans said, face planting his face in the glass. And as strong as he is, he probably could have shattered the glass.
Yikes. Bavik said that LeBron's block was in a more important situation. Completely agree. Bruce, the LeBron block was more dramatic. It was game seven in a very tight game. Iguodala scoring would have given Golden State a huge lift. Also looked better. However, Giannis made the more difficult play, recovering from pick and roll. So they're both great plays. Donald lets everybody know you're a Laker fan, which has nothing to do with LeBron blocking.
He was with the damn Cavs at the time. Come on, man. Wake up. You're listening to the show. Wake up.
Yeah, and Chris said this, and this is, I think, I'll stop it here. Chris says, game seven of the finals versus game four of the finals.
End of discussion. Yeah. Nothing else to talk about.
Oh, I do want to add one more, though.
You just said you were done.
I know, but this is, it was a good
it's
reference.
It's so good to you.
It's a good reference.
Okay.
Tayshaun Prince. Sean said this. Tayshaun Prince had the best ever. His block
see,
on Reggie
remember.
Miller.
I don't remember.
Huge block.
I got to see it. I don't remember it.
You know,
during
and now
break, during the break, you can show
yeah,
it
yeah, I'll
me.
Show it to you. It was a huge play by Tayshaun Prince for the when the Pistons won the championship at 04. Great play. But Bam Adebayo's a block on
Tatum.
Right? Game one conference finals last year in the bubble. Now it's conference finals and it's a game one. Pretty,
but
I
he
mean,
got
at
it
the
all.
Buzzer.
But see, Tatum had the ball where – Ayton really didn't have the
yeah.
ball. It was kind of – he was leaning
back
and catching.
But that was to end the game. It was a two-point game.
Bam got all ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically took the ball from Tatum.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for those who want to join this
I'm a Laker
discussion.
Fan.
Yeah.
People crazy.
That's
man.
Why you love LeBron.
Oh, God. Actually, I didn't even want LeBron. If anyone would know want to know, I didn't want LeBron on the Lakers prior to him coming to the Lakers, and LeBron is a friend of mine, and I did not want him
Why not?
To come. Because, man, I just – Kobe, my guy, I just didn't want to – we were dealing with a lot of Kobe is the best, and, you know, I'm one of those Kobe guys. So it's like, Kobe's the best.
You
we don't need
LeBron.
You want
somebody overshadowing
We don't
Kobe.
Need that. Forget that. I don't want him.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden
– Now you like it, though.
It was like, yeah, we're going to do it, so I might as well buy in.
Do you think you can get another championship out of LeBron?
Yeah, I think we can. It's going to be tight, but I think we can because we're going to obviously go back, retool some stuff.
Yeah,
they've got to stay healthy just like everybody else. But, yeah, I think we can for sure. Certain guys in these leagues, man, things just happen good for them.
There's certain guys also that as long as they're on your team,
you're just going to have a shot. Yeah, certain guys.
John in Southern California, a little Southern Cal, has a comment for you, Key. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Key, how you doing, buddy?
What's happening, man?
SoCal guys right here. So.
Hey, man, you got to turn down your radio.
I want to make a comment. What's that?
You got to turn down whatever that is in your background.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's your radio show.
But you can't talk to us and listen at the same time. You got to turn it down because we hear it. There you
okay.
go.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's turned down.
Thank you, John.
I hear Jay Will fucking laughing and shit. That's great.
All right,
good.
Man.
Well, we got to let you
John.
Go now. Right. See you later.
Let's go to Nathan in Alabama.
Oh, God.
Nathan.
We haven't had one of those in a long time.
You're Cali guys, man. They're just too laid back. Nathan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well this morning. I wanted to ask a question to you and Keyshawn. We were talking a couple of days ago about the disrespect that Giannis may get, and I wonder if it's because we've had years to prepare for the other superstars in the league. And because he had a late rising, some of the things that he does that are spectacular, we've seen those other pros do for several years, even before they became pros. What do you think about that being a reason why he may not always get the respect that some people feel like he should get?
I think from a basketball perspective, some of that may factor in. We talked to a number of basketball players. Obviously, we had Cassidy Hubbard on with us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Quentin Richardson on with us a couple days ago.
Steve Novak.
And
yeah.
Steve Novak. So when you think about it, a lot of AAU guys, they've been playing together for quite some time. So there's a bond. There's a relationship that's there. When you come out of nowhere, there's no real – like Giannis doesn't have a clique of crew of individuals in the NBA that he, in the offseason, runs with and hang with. It's not like that. So – that could be a little bit of it where guys are just like, well, we don't rock with him like that. So, therefore, we don't pay attention about his game the way we do others.
What about what Novak said? I thought what Steve Novak said was interesting. Now, Novak's got, you know, intimate knowledge of Giannis and the Bucks because he's from Milwaukee. He does Bucks TV, and he played in the league for over a decade. And he said that Giannis, you know, was, you know, LeBron offered, hey, come work out
yeah.
in the offseason. He said, no, I'm all set.
But
I'm
that's
trying,
all part of
trying
that.
To beat you. I'm not trying to be your friend.
That's all part of what I
and
just said.
Then he
said.
Was also offered a part in Space Jam 2.
All
turned
part of
that
what
down.
I said.
So does LeBron almost go like, all right, well, I'm not giving you any shine then?
Well, because
LeBron,
not
like,
just,
you're not,
not
hearing
just
anything
LeBron,
out of him.
Not just LeBron, others too. You got to remember.
Dame Lillard might have been the biggest starter to make any comment on that block last night. You had him, Iguodala did make reference to it, and a couple other players, but it wasn't, like I said, that wasn't the. I just – you're not getting that same buzz reaction out of players. And, of course, LeBron is rooting for Chris Paul, as you know. He's rooting for him. That's his guy.
Well, we're rooting for him, too, so he can come join the Lakers.
Of course.
Because I'm a Laker fan, remember?
Yeah, everybody points that out. But no, but it's like the Giannis thing about some people feel like there's a disrespect. I don't think it's disrespect.
It's not a disrespect.
I just don't think it's an awe. It was a great play, and he had another terrific game.
But it's also not. It's not a wow. Some of his stuff is not wow. It's like,
well, that was wow.
That was wow. Okay.
That was wow.
But I'm talking about like he's gonna dunk. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We expect you're 7 feet tall. You're going to dunk. Mm-hmm. Like he's not doing the KD 7 feet pulling up the threes. He's trying, but he's building a house because he's hitting all those bricks. When you think about Steph Curry logo shot half court, they come across a bam.
Yeah.
Trade bam. Dame Lillard, bam, LeBron to a point, I'm going to go and do the same thing because I saw somebody else do it. Now you go, wow, you pay attention to that. Giannis backing a dude down, dunking on him. It's like, well.
With long arms too. Maybe that's what it is.
It's like you already at the cup. You're there at the rim. I want that on my team. But is that unique to basketball? Is that different to the game of basketball? I would say no. Because I've seen footers dominate the rim. We see it still to this day. It ain't even Giannis's. It could be any big that get underneath the rim that turn around and dunk.
I think people get upset, though, about this stuff because just appreciate him and
why bring this up. He is appreciated.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a lack of appreciation. It's more of just an awareness of where he – because when you reach this status, when you've got two MVP trophies.
Have you ever seen Robert Parrish dunk?
Oh, yeah, it's the simplest dunk ever. When he used to play back in the day, he wouldn't even pull the rim.
What are you seeing that's different? Nothing. Nothing. Now when he brings the ball from out of the basket and he bully balls it and he crosses a guy
when
over
when he does that Euro step, oh, my God.
That's different. Yeah. That makes you go, damn.
But you can't emulate that because you're not built
that
like him.
That makes you go, damn.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I can't believe he's doing that.
That look easy.
That it's – you can't do that. Or – but – when you see the shooters shooting the way they shoot, we go crazy about it because it's unreal. Mm-hmm. We've never seen it before.
Right.
But we've seen the Dream dunk on somebody, or Patrick Ewing dunk on somebody. We've seen that.
I just feel like people take this stuff too personal. This is what we talk about. We watch a guy play. You see him at this level. He can win a championship, and we know what comes with it in this
sport. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it at all.
No, we just, yeah.
Then right. What
don't,
we
yeah, exactly. Don't talk about it at all. But you know what, though?
Maybe we should just not say anything.
Hey, like I said.
Then we will be extremely boring at that point.
The Chris Paul injury if it's an injury or not, the way he's played, and especially the way he played in his last game, is a concern for Phoenix. Because now the momentum's gone the other way. Remember, going to Milwaukee.
Going home, I feel a whole lot better.
Well, that's where the series is gone. But going to Milwaukee, Phoenix had all the momentum. They were playing terrific. There was just curiosity. Can they even win a game?
What is going home?
And now it's completely flipped to a point where, although this was such a close game, it could have gone either way. Now it's like, well, now how do the Suns are now in a fight. But they weren't – it didn't feel like they were in that same fight.
But I was never – first two games. I never was worried about that because it was at home. Phoenix was at home.
Yeah.
Milwaukee was on the road. Chris Middleton and the gang just don't, for whatever reason – they struggle to play consistent on the road. So I wasn't, like, stressed out. I'm like, okay, they go home. They went home. They took care of business. Now Phoenix, I bet they go home. They take care of business.
Is it going seven?
Yeah, because it's going to do this.
You think the home is going to hold serve?
Yeah,
the
and
whole
then
time.
The set game seven is really – that's going to be that pressure. That game seven is when you're going to see the coaches have to really coach. Like, really coach.
And the stars. Like the stars, to me, that's also a huge part of this, right?
Yeah.
The stars are what matters, and that's what the Game 7 happens, where that's when I think you build that legacy. Game 7 is always that. It's like who had that signature game. But for now, if the Bucks come back and win this series, this block is something everybody's going to talk about, and that's why we're talking about it. And you make a face, but I'm telling you, if the Bucks win this series, that, unless there's a buzzer beater, that is your signature play. Because, that could have gone either way. And if the Suns end up winning that game, that's a 3-1 deficit.
That wouldn't be my storyline as the editor of your newspaper.
Okay. You don't believe that play.
That wouldn't be – I wouldn't – if I'm producing the post-game show, the post-game is I can't believe that Giannis almost went under the knife and he's able to do what he's doing. That would be my story.
Well, that's a secondary. That's already been discussed.
No, but it would be.
He just went back to back 40s.
No, it would. It wouldn't.
You know,
be,
you say that after back to back 40s. Now I'm you're saying that, here's a play that could go down.
But I'm bringing all that back. I'm bringing all that back, and I'm packaging it up, and I'm putting a yeast on it, and blowing it up to make it just sensationalize to a point of no return.
I don't think you have to. That play is sensationalized alone. You just have to put it in context of where it is right now in this series.
It'll be a small blurb in there.
This block is a small blurb?
Yeah.
Seriously?
His coming back from injury.
When did you get your journalism degree?
He coming back from injury is way more.
But that's the macro story when the finals are over.
Yeah, that's the story. That's what you want.
Right now, the story is that block and what it could mean in this series. Could it have turned the series? That's what this is about. All right, you don't agree with me, but let's see if our good friend Monica McNutt agrees with me. She joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN basketball analyst.
Where is she?
Somewhere in the universe.
Oh, she's
Monica?
On the phone.
How
Hi,
are you?
Guys.
Oh, gosh. Hey.
We're having some technical difficulties, and so I can't get my TVU to work, which is bizarre because I swear it was just working. Ugh.
I know what this is about. It's all right. I'm sure it'll be working fine when you're on, like, Get Up or whatever other show.
One of those other 10,000 shows she'll be on.
Right. But, Monica, who do you agree with? I think the story, the conversation is that block and how it could end up being the signature play of the finals and turning point of this series. And Key feels like it's just a footnote in the story of Giannis and how a week ago it looked like his season was over, and yet here he is playing at a high level.
Turning point or footnote? I don't think it's either. I think it's closer to a turning point than it is a footnote. I mean, you got to think about the moment in that ball game. I mean, that pretty much was Phoenix's last shot to keep it close. What was it, 114 to go? I just think it showed such tremendous athletic ability, defensive awareness. It's funny because as we were doing the postgame show last night with PJ Carlesimo and Kevin Winter, there's this notion that Giannis just had an okay game, but you look at his line and it was actually crazy, including that block. So I do think that Chris Middleton gets a little bit more shine because we were dying for one of his signature performances, and he gave that last night.
Yeah, and again, going through his stat line, like you said, he went for back-to-back 40, so we're like, oh, he only had 26. Went 11 of 19, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, mm-hmm. and yes, that second block was the one everybody's talking about. But if you know, Key's mad because he took 2 threes, and we all know like he shouldn't be doing that because he's 0-for-2 from 3.
He has every right to be mad. I was mad too. What are you doing and why? Cut it out.
Yeah, just stop, dude. Like, please. Like what? Don't get caught up in trying to be something you're not. Like, just chill. Like, go and play bully ball. Use your big shoulders and your long arms and dunk on people and laugh at them instead of trying. You're not Steph Curry. You're not Kevin Durant.
Mm-mm.
Be a big.
Not at all.
Just be a simple Mm-mm. big.
Especially coming off of, what was he, 13 for 13 in the restricted area the previous game. I think he was like 25 for 26 in the 2 games combined. Are you kidding me? There's absolutely nothing broke about you getting to the paint and scoring. Why are you trying to fix it? Cut it out.
Yeah, if you up by 30 and you just want to do it for giggles, go ahead. But no, not in the course of a game that's important.
I love the excuse, but you got to keep the defense honest. Even the defense is not taking that serious. Like, they always back
honest
off.
How?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. But you're the one that needs to be honest. Monica, I looked at Chris Paul's game, and the 5 turnovers, he put it on himself. Out of the 17 turnovers, he had 5 of them. And he, you know, was critical of himself, said he's got to be better, said he made some bad decisions. I wondered, though, by watching him play, he didn't look aggressive like we remember seeing him in game 1 in the second half of game 2. And I just wonder if the ligament damage that they discussed going into the series, if maybe it's creeping up again on him and it's affecting his maybe willingness to shoot the basketball, and it's almost making him become a guy forcing passes rather than looking for his offense. What do you see out of him?
So my entire question, especially after the second half, he played 15 minutes in the second half, was like, is he okay?
Yeah.
Like, is it knee, wrist, whatever it is he okay? Because he did not look himself. And, of course, texting with my hoophead friends, there's an argument that Drew Holiday is just flat out wearing him down. I can see, yes, where Drew Holiday has been making it difficult, but yesterday's performance to me was more than just being worn down by a good defender. I mean, CP3 just looked completely out of it. I don't know. That play, God, that play we just showed, there's two times where he was looking for DeAndre, and the ball just goes so wide in the wrong direction. I was extremely baffled by that. I tell you what, you got 2 days to prepare. I don't think you have to tell him the magnitude of a Game 5 at home. So if it is anything other than health, I expect it to be remedied.
Monica, yeah, I saw him grab at his hamstring a couple times in the game, and I was wondering if something was wrong with it, but I'm not a doctor at all, so who knows. What do the Suns need to do at home to continue to win?
Well, honestly, Key, and I'm a daughter of an official, so I kind of begrudgingly make this statement. I do think that the whistles have favored the home team, and I think that helps, because there were two times last night where DeAndre Ayton picked up fouls, and I'm like, wait, how? He's defending one of the most physical players in the league, and he's doing his best to remain in legal guarding position. So I think the friendlier home whistle will help. Obviously, when Devin Booker went out with his fifth, when he returned, he could never sink back up in the way he was, right, getting ready to put on a legendary performance, in that he was that close to carrying this Phoenix Suns team to a victory literally by himself in terms of double-digit scoring. But when they get home, the big thing for me with them has been pace. And even though they lost that ball game, Pat Connaughton hits that shot, five-ish to go in the fourth. I actually thought Phoenix played well despite the turnovers. I think the Bucks came up bigger in the clutch of that ball game. But Phoenix, to me, they have to play with pace. They're so much better when they have opportunities to get out, run out. I think Cam Johnson is emerging. Doris made the statement last night that she would start Cam instead of Mikal. I don't know that I agree with that, because I buy into the continuity and the consistency that they've had. But Cam has been terrific off the bench. So to sum it up, Keith, sorry, I'm super excited. They got to play with more pace. They can't turn the basketball over, and they have to continue, to me, to contend on the boards. They were leading on the boards for the bulk of that game, again, until the clutch period of the fourth quarter, and they ultimately lose the battle on the glass by four. Phoenix is getting killed in second-chance opportunities, and the only way, to me, that you prevent that is if you make it competitive on the glass.
Well, it's amazing to think, too, the Suns shot 51% from the field but lost the game because of the turnover.
But
did you see
the amount of field goals, Alan?
Like, no, I know. That's all the disparity. Yeah, and the turnovers will do that, obviously. The turnovers, the offensive rebounding, like, that's all certainly a big part of this. But the series, I guess, clearly just getting started. Monica,
why
great
aren't
to catch
you
up
here? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, not in studio.
Yeah.
Hey,
your people are supposed to talk to my people, and
okay, we'll get that handled when I come back on vacation.
Thank you, Monica. Always good to talk to you.
Bye, guys. Have fun.
All right. You can hear more from Monica on the pre- and post-game coverage of every game of the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio, as she referenced there who she was talking to. So, you're going to keep singing songs like that as well. Coming up, remember, Patriots quarterback Cam Newton is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, but up next, so how close are we to seeing an end of an era in the NBA? We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton, as the countdown to the NFL season continues. Cam Newton, coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hands it off to Booker, bodied by Tucker. Lifts it for the rim. Block shot by Giannis on the alley-oop attempt to Ayton. What a defensive play by the Greek Freak with a minute 10 to go in game 4.
It's the call from Mark Kester on ESPN Radio as the Bucks beat the Suns 109-103 in Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Series now even at 2 as it heads back to Phoenix for Game 5 on Saturday. Chris Middleton set a playoff career high 40 points as he and Devin Booker went for a duel. Booker went for 42 points. Middleton and Booker, the fourth opposing players with 40-point games in finals history. To the WNBA, they had their All-Star game, and the WNBA All-Stars beat Team USA 93-85, giving Team USA their first loss in an exhibition game since 2019. Arike Ogunbowale was named All-Star Game MVP with a game-high 25 points. That's the fourth most in an All-Star game in WNBA history. To the NFL, where free agent cornerback Richard Sherman is facing several charges, including one on suspicion of burglary, domestic violence, after he was arrested at his wife's parents' residence in Redmond, Washington, early Wednesday. Redmond police said at a news conference Wednesday that Sherman also faces charges of suspicion of resisting arrest and malicious mischief. In addition, Washington State Patrol said at a news conference that his department also ready to refer Sherman to prosecutors for possible misdemeanor DUI and hit-and-run charges related to a separate incident on Wednesday. This is SportsCenter, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See StraightTalk.com. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Indeed. Indeed has this hiring tool called Instant Match, and it really lives up to its name. Just post a sponsored job, and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to immediately deliver the candidates that fit your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Cam Newton joining us at 9 o'clock. You want to stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, Key, so I'm listening to Greeny, who comes on after this show, right? Also, obviously, host Get Up. Yesterday on my way home, and he made reference to something that I thought was definitely important to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And because you and I are in the same kind of generation, so we have these eras where you actually played in this era.
I played in a couple, but never mind.
But no, But it's from your era, though, as an athlete. There's some great players that we have had in this generation. And you're talking about Tiger Woods. You're talking about Serena Williams. You're talking about, you know, some of the best of their sport. Tom Brady, who's still going. LeBron James, who's still going. And another name that Greeny brought up yesterday that I thought we should acknowledge is Roger Federer, who has absolutely dominated his sport. And he's considered, again, he's one of the classiest athletes you'll deal with, beloved and incredibly successful, of course. And he just he lost at Wimbledon and has now withdrawn from the Olympics. And we're not sure if we're going to see him in the U.S. Open. Now, he's 39. He's had this knee injury that last year, you know, took him out, and then he had to try to recover from it, thought he could, and clearly at Wimbledon it was an issue for him. And you wonder, and as Greeny wondered, and I wonder the same thing, is this the last we're going to see of Roger Federer? And so Tiger now came back, won the Masters, was a great story, but then this accident, you know, obviously all we want to do is just see him come back healthy in some way to be able to walk. Nobody's even talking about golf. Serena Williams, we're seeing what she's dealing with now, a lot of physical issues that are holding her back from being able to play at a high level that we remember her playing at. And then you have Brady, LeBron. Am I missing anyone else that we think of that in this era of where those athletes dominated their sport the way they did? Am I missing anyone? If you can think of anybody, help me out. Anybody else too at 888-SAY-ESPN. But it is something to think about. When we watch sports and we have these greats that are in each era, I mean, that's a timeline of our lives. And here's a guy in Federer who you might not watch tennis a lot, but if I asked you to name a male tennis player, that's a name that you'll remember, like Serena. Yeah. Yeah, Serena, yeah. If I say tennis, you think Serena. It's like
Serena,
you don't even think.
Federer, Nadal.
Yeah, yeah. Djokovic now is dominating his sport.
I mean, those are kind of the names.
Yeah, but Federer was, again, there was so much about him because it was more than just his greatness as a player. It's how he carried himself off the court.
But typically, when you have that type of star power and you've been that dominant, you don't go out like that. You go out in the quarterfinal losing, and then you say
ovation,
yourself,
and you
ovation,
know it's over.
And you know it's over. It's like, you know what? I'm gonna play in the U.S. Open, or I'm gonna go Australian Open. I'm gonna go out in the quarterfinal. I'm gonna go out in the semi. That's kind of how you don't just all of a sudden abruptly pull out and say, I'm done.
Yeah, but the
Tiger, because of the injuries, you just don't know what the and getting older, so you don't know what that is and what's going to happen with that. Serena, on the other hand, she's still playing, although not her best tennis right now, but she's not going to abruptly just decide to say, never mind. Like, she's going to give it one of these big tournaments, one of these goals. Like I said, a quarter, a semi, a final. I lose. This is it. I've decided it's over with. That's what you usually get, that last circle, right? You Peyton Manning, you go out, you're injured, you go to the Super Bowl, you win, you're done, you know it's over, you still win the Super Bowl, but you're not coming back. Like, you're not trying
you kinda
to
know
play
it's time. Game.
You know it's time. You know,
I think it makes it what makes it also more remarkable. Look, it's a way to feel old, I guess, for me, because it's somebody that you see the beginning and the end of their career.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of what you feel like, is it's somebody that it, and it's in your timeline. Like, it's like when Derek Jeter retired, it was such a moment for me, because it was like, wow, I saw him. He was a rookie. You know, it's not like when I was a kid. It's different. I was an adult, and he was a rookie, and then he retired, and it's like that's a whole career, and it's over.
You don't
want to
see Jeter batting 130. No, yeah, no, we're not looking for that.
Yeah, like when Kobe walked away from the game, it was that same feeling of and of course the performance he had in his final game. But that's the kind of walk offs you really want. Jeter's last game, what does he do? Walk off, like, that kind of stuff was special. But this is Federer, Serena, Tiger. But it also makes me, though, keep marvel, and you as a professional athlete probably more than anybody can relate to it. What Tom Brady's doing at this point, I mean, it's a 20-year career. It's a lifetime.
But he could still
And he's still doing it. That's what I mean. And he's still doing it, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down. LeBron, still doing it.
He can still play. He can still play.
It's just, I marvel at that.
If Tom Brady comes out this year and he throws 30 interceptions, Tom, go sit down, man. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But when you start to see Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees, it's time for, like, come on, we like y'all, y'all cool, but it's time to go.
But you walked away a different way, though.
Because I was ready. I was tired. I was mentally fatigued. I was just tired. But I was literally tired.
But you felt like you could still play at a high level?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
100%. So it wasn't about you saying, like, I can't.
What did I have my last year? What did I have, 70 grabs, 70-something catches, something like that? With like four different quarterbacks in Carolina? Like, I couldn't even name nobody but Chris Winkie and Jake DeLone. And it was like some other dudes.
Yeah.
Like, and I still flirted with playing, but I didn't – I guess I had already accomplished everything I wanted to in my life as a football player. There was nothing else that I felt that I needed to accomplish.
Never regret it?
Like, no, because I didn't play the game to go into the Hall of Fame. That wasn't what I played for. I played to – lift my family out of poverty, and I accomplished that. That was my goal. That's why I played. I didn't play to go to the Hall of Fame. And like, I won a Super Bowl and was a very important part of our Super Bowl team. I wasn't like the fifth receiver on the Super Bowl team.
Of course.
I played in Pro Bowls. I won a Pro Bowl MVP when the Pro Bowl was real. So I did all of that. I broke records. So it was kind of like, for me, it was like ESPN, Norby's calling. Let me see what they're talking about. Oh, okay. In the meanwhile, I got the Seahawks on one end. I got the Titans on another. Do I really want to be playing football right now? I've given it 11 years. I want to be able to play with my kids, and I want to be able to walk. What am I chasing? Like, I'm never going to be the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game, because that's Jerry Rice. And I'm not chasing
you. And you got that ring. So you felt like if there was anything to chase, it was the ring. And you got it.
There's nothing. See, some people play the game for a lot of different reasons. And for me, I accomplished everything early on in my career. I wasn't chasing. Like, there's players that chase. Whether it's numbers, whether it's financially, self-gratification. Like, I already accomplished that so early. It was kind of like, I don't want to cheat my teammates. I don't want to be the guy with one foot in, one foot out, mm-hmm. retired early and didn't announce it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do
just
that.
Just hanging on for another paycheck around, or whatever it is.
And like I said, my year I retired, I think I had 70-something catches or something like that.
You had 70 catches, 815 yards. four touchdowns again with Carolina.
They paying dudes $50 million a year to do that.
But, you know, it's funny. Your yards per, you know, pretty much on point, too. It wasn't like you were catching short passes. And, you know, catch percentage as well, like still over 50%, still right there with your average career.
To be honest with you, huh? I was like.
I get it.
I don't feel like listening to that dude talk to me to talk to that young dude, and the young dude ain't paying attention, but I got to sit in these damn meetings for 3 hours to hear the same thing over and over again, and I know he's not talking to me. I don't want to, you know, it's just, you get to a point in your career where it's like,
yeah,
I accomplished everything.
Well, that's good. It's good that you had that closure and you feel complete and never had that regret.
No,
you know,
I'm good.
It is something. But like I said, when it just comes to, you know, an era where we've seen some of the greatest of all time, for every sport, it's been pretty remarkable. Another name in Roger Federer, you know, we'll see if he does get to finish. And then, of course, we have Tom Brady and LeBron. They're still getting it done.
Tell people, too, though, it's a whole lot of people that would trade their careers for mine. It ain't a whole lot of people I would trade mine for theirs.
Like I said, if you have that kind of closure and peace with what you've done, that's a good place to be. Coming up next, take it or shake it. We'll discuss everything on that topic after I tell you about O'Reilly. See, I got to read. Just so you know, kid, you didn't set me up for that. Superstar batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, or more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton as the countdown to the NFL season continues. Cam Newton, coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Shake it, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, and we're brought to you by California Almonds, country versus country, you versus the home printer. No matter the competition, you need natural fuel. Almonds are exactly that fuel for the best you. Almonds are natural energy packed. Stay on task. Feel good fuel to power you through. California Almonds, own your every day, every day. We also presented by Progressive Insurance, and with Take It or Shake It, we hand it off to Pat Costello.
Hey, guys, Take It or Shake It is brought to you by Grainger. The Suns will make it back to another NBA championship with Devin Booker. Take It or Shake It.
So can I ask you a question to follow that up? Does that mean Chris Paul is there too, or just Devin Booker?
The Suns will make it back to another NBA championship with Devin Booker.
With
Take It or Shake
Devin
It.
Devin Booker. Take it or
shake it. No, I don't think so. I think this year was special for a lot of reasons. The breaks went their way. I think that the West is obviously going to be a lot stronger, better. The Clippers aren't going anywhere. The Lakers aren't going anywhere. Golden State's getting Klay Thompson back. We know what Denver could do. We've seen Utah. I mean, it's going to be a tough situation. in the West. I don't know. I mean, I like Devin Booker and all, and maybe I'm biased, but unless he really turned into a Kobe Bryant, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I just don't know. Again, my only criticism about Phoenix is you never know with their ownership if they're willing to spend to keep a team together. That's the question about them. So can they get back, especially in the West? I can't guarantee it. So
like
I will
if he
not
really
say take
if he
it.
Really turned into Kobe Bryant,
yeah, you'd have to build around him. You have to make sure you keep feeding him with good players.
You get that other great player, then yes.
But that's the key.
But right now it's hard for me to judge.
Be willing to pay for it.
Because the mindset of Chris Paul coming over there and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like Kobe didn't have to have a Chris Paul with him to elevate his mental in basketball. Like Chris Paul came to OKC and all of a sudden, I mean, came from OKC to the Suns and all of a sudden it was
unlocked everything.
Yeah, it was a different deal.
Right.
And maybe I'm a little biased. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right, and as a reminder here, coming up in 10 minutes, Cam Newton's joining the show. But take it or shake it, this is Matt Nagy's last season with the Bears.
Shake it! This is he's just getting started. You know, you want to know why? Because he's going to make the smart decision. And the smart decision is going to play Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And Justin Fields is going to unlock them, much like Lamar Jackson did for the Baltimore Ravens. Because if you remember, Harbaugh was probably going to get fired that year. They were talking about him being replaced at the end of the season, and he made a gutsy move. And then from there on, he's gotten extension after extension after extension. Live to see another day. And I think this is exactly what Matt Nagy's going to do.
Yeah, he got his insurance in this draft, and that's what's going to help him.
Be smart.
Sure.
Don't be dumb.
The Cardinals will be the worst team in the NFC West. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. I don't think they're going to be the worst team. I just don't think they're going to be the best team. What does that mean, huh? Is that what you're trying to think?
I mean, second or third. I mean,
no, that just means that
I think they could be the worst team.
They can win 10 games, 9 games, and not make the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. Like they,
who's going to be worse?
It's not. They could be a good team. They could still be a solid team. Their record may not indicate it. See, when you say worst to me.
In the division, though. In the division.
Oh, are they going to finish last in the division?
Yeah, that's what worst means. Last.
But see, when you say worst to me, I'm looking at like bad.
No,
Cleveland
you mean,
Brown
yeah,
team.
I'm not saying they're going to be
you
4
mean
record and 13. Wise. Just in worst in the division means you're last place.
I think they finish.
I can take that.
I think they finish 4th in the division.
All right, that's last. That means you take it.
Yeah, but that's not worst to me. That's last. Worst to me is the Sacramento Kings.
We have an issue with semantics today on the show. We're working on it.
Sixers guard Ben Simmons, or forward, will be traded before the start of next season. Take it or shake it.
Take it. Yeah, they already
Please
working on that
it.
Deal. That deal is being worked on right now.
Yeah, once the finals are over, you're going to see that get hot and heavy. There are teams very interested.
And he wants it too, and it's probably good for him and his career and his psyche to get out of Philadelphia, because the Philadelphia 76ers, Philly fans in general in sports, can be extremely mean to their players as well as opponents. Shake they it. Once booed Santa Claus, so come on.
Hey, do you see him? Is he got to go out west?
I don't know that he has to go out west.
You know, it matters.
I mean, I don't think it really matters. I mean, where could he go? Mm. He can go to Portland.
A lot of teams interested.
He can go to Portland. He can go a lot of places.
Yeah.
He's a good basketball player that has some issues. That's all.
With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Last one here, guys.
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani will make number 17 cool and iconic.
I think he'll make it cool and iconic. I don't know. I think maybe it's just a uniform, man.
That All-Star jersey might not sell, but the Angels one would.
The Angels jerseys are nice. I like the way they look.
It's all right.
I like it. It's classic. It's the normal.
But his jersey should get popular. You see, by the way, speaking of jerseys, Giannis has the number 2 selling jersey in the NBA.
Because everybody in Milwaukee buys it.
Yeah.
I ain't seeing nobody walk around L.A. with no Giannis jersey on, or New York.
No.
But I see people walking around with other players and others from other teams in those particular states. That's how I judge. I judge based on, is Steph Curry's jersey being
everywhere?
Everywhere.
Like you see like Steph Curry everywhere. Jerseys in New York City.
Or
all
LeBron's
over the place.
Or Kids. KD's. That's how I judge.
How about Cam Newton's Patriots jersey?
How about his scarf?
Cam Newton Patriots jersey, how popular can that get? depending on, of course, the success that he has with the Pats this season. A lot of questions about Cam, a lot of questions about the Patriots and their retooling for this year. Cam is going to join us coming up next. Usually we have right now like a tease or something. There's nothing to tease. It's Cam Newton, and he's joining us. We got a lot to discuss with him. We will do that next, and you will stay with us.
Ooh, Cam.